Glory to God. Please go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for worshiping with us tonight. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, tonight, I know you have your visions and you have your Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is always right. That's where we always start from. And we've done a lot of that tonight. We're going to do some more when we cross over. But let me, I want to share, take a few minutes and share some words with us before we get to a point where we start presenting our vision to the Lord. We want to tell the Lord what our expectations are for the new year. Amen. Your expectations are important. Whatever you present to the Lord, that's what God has to work with. God is limited by what we expect. He's limited by what we believe for. Amen. And when we have great expectation and we have a great vision, then God can do great things in our lives. Remember, some people think this is just a traditional thing. It's not. Remember when Abraham didn't have a child and he was asking God, when are you going to bless me with a child? Well, God told him, come out in the dark night, and God pointed to the skies and said, start counting the stars. How many people remember that story in Genesis? Why did he do that? If our expectation and our vision don't matter, before God gave Abraham a child, before he got his promised child, why did God take him out into the open? And God said, count the stars. And as he was counting the stars, he was envisioning his future family. He was seeing the faces of those children and grandchildren that were not yet here. Right? And then the Bible says in that scripture, Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. He believed God. Based on the vision that he saw the vision, he expected, he believed that God could make it happen. And then the Bible says, God counted it to him for righteousness and the miracle started happening. It's just a spiritual process. When you have expectation, when you have vision, you give God something to work with. You give God something to work with. Why do you think God many times in scriptures asks people, what do you want me to do for you? When he saw blind Bartimaeus, he already knew the man was blind. Everybody, the whole nation knew the man was blind. They even called him blind. That was a part of his name. If you didn't ask, you would think blind was his first name and Bartimaeus was his surname. That's what you would think. You think that's his last name. No, he's blind. They called him blind Bartimaeus because that's what they had always called him. And Jesus knew this was blind Bartimaeus. But when he stood before blind Bartimaeus, he said, so what do you want me to do for you? Somebody would say, well, why are you asking? Well, he's asking because he wants to know, do you have an expectation? Sometimes people don't really know what they want or what they need in life. Sometimes people think they need money, but really what they need is peace. Because people have a lot of money, but because they don't have peace, they are always making bad decisions. Running from pillar to post is like if you have a basket and you pour water in that basket, you will never hold water because the basket is leaking. There is nowhere to keep the water. So what's the point in continuing to pour water into that basket? So if somebody says, what do you need? And you say, I need money. It may not be money you need. It may be wisdom you need. Wisdom to use the resources you already have. Wisdom to gain. Wisdom to take stock. Hallelujah. Wisdom to be able to make sound decisions. Because sometimes people keep going round and round and round and round the same mountain. Why? Because they don't have wisdom. Amen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it says the labor of the fool wearies every one of them because he does not know the way to the city. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I think it's verse 5 or whatever that verse is. He does not know the way to the city. And then the Bible says the axe head is blunt, and you need to keep using a lot of energy to make that axe head work. But then he says wisdom is profitable to direct. So if you ask, somebody may ask you, what do you need? You may say, I need more axes. No. You need sharp, one sharp axe is what you need, with sharp axe head. Thank you for that scripture. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. And which one? I think it's verse 5 that says the labor of the fool. That's not verse. What verse is that? Find it for me. Somewhere there in that. No, 5. I'm looking for. Yeah, 15. Thank you. The labor of fools wearies them. Give it to me. I like it in King James because it sounds more spiritual. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go to the city. The whole family is struggling because the person who is leading the family does not know the direction, the way to go to where they are trying to go. So they are burning more gas. They are running their cars down, taking more loans, living in conflict and strife and stress, when actually what's going on is they lack wisdom. It's wisdom. That's why he says this in that verse 15. But in verse 10, go back to verse 10, he says, if the iron be blunt and you do not wear the edge, okay, that's too deep. So give that to us in the Amplified. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. Some people think the more they sweat, the more they are producing. It's not true. It's not true. Have you ever written exams? If you have ever been a student, you've written an exam and you read the whole book from front to back, cover to cover. You read the whole book and you are struggling to even remember one thing. But some other student got inside information. He had a sample of a previous year's exam. And somebody told him about the professor. And they said, this professor, he prefers this area. He likes this area a lot. So that student, instead of reading cover to cover, 50 pages, where you will remember anything, that student read just 2 pages. Because they told him, this professor likes 2 pages. This subject. So he mastered everything, memorized everything. And when the exam came, he saw everything that he had prepared. He verbatim, he wrote everything that 100%. Now, the one who read back to back, 30 days, he never slept in the night, back to back. When the final result came out, he had D. He said, you have to do it again. Well, that's what the Bible is saying. If your axe head is dull and you don't sharpen the edge, then you need to do more. And psychologically, you think that by doing more, you are achieving more. But it's not true. Many times, it is wisdom that helps us to profit. It is wisdom that helps us to succeed. You know, glory to God. It is wisdom to start out the year with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for the opportunity to end one year and to start out another one with the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We give you praise. We are not in the hospital. Father God, we are not stranded somewhere.
Father God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for grace. We thank you for all your mighty gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So let's get a little bit more wisdom as we get ready. When we're about 10 minutes before midnight, I'm going to let you get up and start praying. Did we get a chance to write like our visions? Those who want to do that. And we can give them we have sheets of paper. If you want to write something, I just told you about the power of expectation, the power of vision. So if you want to write something down so that you have it and you can see it, just raise your hands and our ushers, our ministers will give you something to write on. But 10 minutes before midnight, I'm going to have us stand up and we're going to start praying over our desires for 2025. We're going to start speaking the word of God. You know, your desires are very important. Vision is very important. Expectation is very important. You can actually lift up your hands and our ushers will. They'll serve you if you need a piece of paper to write on. Do we have pens? Because people may not have pens. No, we don't have pens. Okay. Type it in your phone. Yeah. That's the power of technology now. Glory to God. So, yeah, expectation is great. Vision is awesome. But it's also powerful to speak words. Words are powerful. God said in Isaiah, he said, I put my words in your mouth so that you may plant the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. What scripture is that? Is Isaiah, is it 65? Someone find it for me. I have a lot of scriptorians in this place. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Is Isaiah something? Yes, somewhere in the 60s or 50s, one of the two. We will find it. I've put my word. I want you to see that scripture. I didn't plan to read it, but since the Lord brought it. 51:16. Thank you so much. There it is. Thank you. Look at it. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in your mouth. And I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, you are my people. So in order for God to do some things in our lives, he will require us to speak. Sometimes words precede manifestation. That's the same way God created the earth. When God was going to create the heavens and the earth, God wasn't carrying tractors. That's not how he did it. He spoke words. And because he spoke words, things began to come into manifestation. Glory to God. Things began to arise. Things began to show up. Amen. Now, the words you speak are important. You can't just open your mouth and say anything. Especially if you have not really been in the word of God. That prophet, I think it's Jeremiah, he said, thy words were found. I think it's Jeremiah 3, 15, 16. Your words were found and I did eat them. And your words became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I think it's Jeremiah 3, 15, 16. Put that up for us. Hallelujah. Now, you have to find his words. The words that will plant the heaven in your life is not just any word, any garbage word that you have been talking all day. Or what you have been talking with your BFF. 15:16, thank you. Thank you for helping me with these scriptures tonight. Your words were found and I ate them and your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord of hosts. So when you find his words, and when you eat his words, how do you eat his words? You meditate them, you study them, you take time. You take time to dwell in that word. Then, when that word becomes a joy to you, and when it becomes a delight to your heart, then something will happen. Something will happen. You will suddenly find the ability. So when you speak, God can take the words that you speak and use them to do what he wants to do in your life. Look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Whatever you are going to do must begin with the Word. In the beginning. He didn't say midway through. He didn't say at the end. No, but in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Hallelujah. And the Word was God. We know he's talking about Jesus, but he's also talking about the Word of God. The Word. The Word of God in your mouth is powerful. The Word of God in your mouth is what God uses to build. That's what God uses to change situations around your life. Somewhere in James, he says, blessing and cursing cannot be coming out of the same mouth. So as a believer, as a child of God, you can't be using your mouth to speak curse. And then at the same time, in other situations, you are trying to use your mouth to speak blessing. He says that blessing will not flow. So we have to devote our mouths and consecrate our mouths. Isaiah said he has given me, Isaiah 50, he says he has given me, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, so that I know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You cannot have a tongue of the learned and at the same time be using your tongue for rubbish. Hallelujah. You've got to consecrate your tongue so that when you speak, your words are powerful. Your words can produce. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just say one or two things here before our time goes. There is no question as we get ready for a new year and a new season that it has always been the will of God. It is always the will of God to prosper us, to bless us. Amen. To do us good. Right? You find this expression a lot of times in the Old Testament especially, but in the New Testament there are similar expressions. They don't just use those exact words. It says that it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. God's plan is that it may be well with us. Hallelujah. And as you get ready to go into a new season, God wants that it is well with you and with your family. That you be blessed, that you prosper, that you have joy, that you have peace, that you have rest on every side. Amen. That is the will of God for you. Somebody say, that is the will of God for me, that it may be well with me. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. As you get ready to, you prepare yourself to go into a new season, it is important that you have expectation for good. God wants you to know he desires that it is well with you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. That's the land that he's taking them. And then if you look in verse 18. So this land that flows with milk and honey is almost like a new land that you are going to. So it's like you are coming from one year and you are going into another year. And the Lord is saying, my plan for you is that it will be well with you in that new year. No matter what your experiences have been in this old year, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, God says, my plan for you is that this new season will be good for you and your family. Amen. That it will be well with you. Amen. Somebody says it will be well with me. Well. Me and my family in the name of Jesus. All right. Now look at verse 18 of that same Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Now, in this scripture right here, he puts in a very, very important condition. He says that you may do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. See, put a condition right there. My plan is that it will be well with you, but you must do right and good, he says. You must do right and good. My brothers and sisters, God is a God of plan, purpose, and determination. Anything that God plans for you, there is already a preordained path for you to get it. Amen. Right. God is telling you now, he plans that it is well with you. Somebody say, it will be well with me in 2025 in the name of Jesus. Actually, if you back up in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and look at verse 33 of that Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at what it says. Let's read from verse 29. It said in Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would hear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever." All that there might be a heart in them. Hallelujah. All that there, see, this is God talking now. God is saying, I want it to be well with you, but oh, I wish that there was such a heart in you to do what is pleasing to me, so that I can really bring to pass the plans that I have for you. Let me say this to you. God is not a haphazard God. He's not a haphazard God. Everything God does is with a plan. And the reason I said, I know you already know it, but I want to, you know, I know I'm running for time now. I want to say a couple of things just before we get into praying. God is not a haphazard God. Everything God does is with a plan. Think about it. From the creation in Genesis, and every undertaking of God throughout the beginnings in the Old Testament until the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of the church in the Acts of the Apostles, until the events revealed in the Revelations, it is obvious that God painstakingly designs every act and every step he takes. No question about it. God painstakingly, he designs every act. Nothing happens by chance where God is concerned. That's why in the Hebrew language, the word coincidence does not exist. You know how we say it was a coincidence? We're saying so something happened, it's a coincidence. That word coincidence does not exist in the Hebrew language. Because God is painstakingly, hallelujah, everything he does. When he told Noah to build an ark, he gave him specific dimensions. When he told Moses to build a tabernacle, he gave him specific. When he told Solomon's temple, he gave specific. Everything. God is heavily invested in a due order. Listen to this. And if you want to enjoy his best blessings in your life, you must discover that due order and walk in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Walking in God's due order can determine if or when you arrive at your due season. And your due season is always determined by the dew of heaven. If you don't have the dew of heaven over your life, your due season will never come. This is so good. The land will yield our increase. The land will yield our increase. So God has a due order. Let me close out here before we get ready to start praying. In Hebrews chapter 13. Let's put that up for us, please, in the Amplified, verses 20 and 21. Let's take this prayer that the apostle prayed. It's a very powerful prayer, but it's also a principle, a powerful principle that he's sharing with us. When I alluded in the Old, I showed you a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament where the Bible says God desires that it is well with you. That means God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have peace. When you have peace in your life, it means you are healthy. It means you are well. It means you can think clearly. You have a good, healthy mind, sound mind. It also means that you can prosper. It means that you can do well. Amen. It means that the decisions you make are sound and they can produce good results in your life. Look at that scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Let's read that in the Amplified. And then we're going to get ready. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to write things that I'm closing early tonight, which is good. So we have time to pray and we can just freelance and get ready to go into the new year and celebrate. Amen. Look at what it says right here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21. Now, may the God of peace, the source of serenity and spiritual well-being, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood that sealed and ratified the eternal covenant. This is one of the things we're going to do before we leave. After we cross into the new year and read our confessions, we're going to take communion. We want to start. It's very interesting. I don't know. Somehow or the other, through the years, we always assume we take communion. We take communion first of the year or mid-watch night service. But I don't think we always remember to do that. We want to do that this year. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's the covenant. The communion represents the covenant that God has made with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Says the who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood that sealed and ratified the eternal covenant. Go on to the next verse. May that God equip you. I really like this. This is what it means that it be well with you. May that God equip you with every good thing. Somebody say every good thing. With every good thing to help you carry out his will and strengthen you, making you complete and perfect as you ought to be, accomplishing in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let me ask you a question. What would be some of these good things in your mind that if the Lord gave you in 2025, will make your life complete? That if God gave you some of those good things, you know, that expression that it may be well with you, you will be able to actually describe yourself as living a good life. That you'll be able to describe yourself as you are living a good life. You are living a good life that is pleasing, well-pleasing to God, but that you are fulfilling your purpose on the earth. What may some of those good things be? What would those desires and visions be? Things that if God added to you and to your family, may make your life have a higher quality, may help you do better in this new season, in this new land that God is taking you. I want you to give some thought to that as we get ready to pray. And as you give some thought to that, I want you to begin to document that. If you want to write them down, that's up to you. If you want to put them in your electronic device, you know, think this is peculiar to everyone. This is different. What you need in your life for you to be able to say, oh, 2025, it was well with me, is different from what I need in my life. The principles are all the same, but the particulars are different. What are the particulars for you? That if God did that for you in 2025, like he said, like Abraham says, God, if you give me this child, if you just give me this child, God said, look at the stars. What would those particulars be for you? That if God did that in your life, you'll be able to say, 2025, it was well with me. The Lord fulfilled his word in my life. He perfected everything that concerned me. He performed his promises in my life. Well, let's begin to document those things. Let's begin to write them down. Let's begin to get ourselves ready. And as you do, I want you to also brace yourself in your mind. Amen? One of the changes that need to happen in all of our lives is we need to conform to the order of God. Right? We just can't, you know, Pastor Tino and I were talking about this during the Christmas season. This was a very interesting conversation, one of our interesting conversations that we had. Glory to God, we were so blessed. We had a long road trip. We were able to go. Our son, Emmanuel David, he has an apartment in Chicago. So all of us crammed into that apartment. And,
He cooked for us. They ordered food and we had a glorious Christmas. It's truly amazing where home is. Home is really where love is, right? Home is not a big mansion. Home is, we're all in this small apartment. I mean, the toilet seats, I'm sorry to say, sorry, son. His son, like, well, let's not talk about it. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Lord has given me the tug of the learned. I mean, everything was beautiful. Everything was, oh my goodness, it was awesome, wasn't it? We had such a wonderful time. But my point is, it's really where love is. It's not, you can have a huge mansions, and there's nothing wrong with that. The blessing of God will bless you and also give you the things you need in your life, amen? So there's nothing wrong with that. So don't be hating on people if they are blessed. But I'm just trying to say, the dimension of the blessing of God is not really measured by the size of what you possess. No, it's not. I mean, in that small apartment, we're all crammed in there. I mean, we're kind of all, you know, if you go into the kitchen, you know, it's one small, narrow, right, walkway into the kitchen. You go into the kitchen, somebody has to step aside and press to the cabinet for the other person to be able to go by. You know what I mean, those kind of apartments? You know, it's a beautiful, small apartment, but I'm just trying to say to you, it wasn't really anything fancy, but we had one of the best Christmases we've ever had. Really, we did. Right there in Chicago. And last year was the same thing. Our daughter Christine hosted us in our own apartment in Boston. Same thing. Her own apartment is a little bigger. And she shares a bigger apartment with one of her, colleagues. And her colleague, which is also one of our daughters, Ramayel, is traveling for that period. So we had the entire apartment. We had a great time. But, you know, the truth of the matter is where love is, that's where life is, my friends. Honestly. That's where. I don't want $1 million if there's no love there. I don't want it. I don't need it. If there's no peace there, I don't want it. Amen. My life is fully complete with the joy of the Lord. That's all I care. I mean, I can sleep in a manger if there is love. I mean, true love. Yes. Amen, amen. That's what life, the quality of life is not measured in quantities. The quality of life is not measured in quantities. The quality of life is measured in quality. 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 Where you share friendship and you share love and you share oneness. Amen. Glory to God. And I pray that you will have that in your life. See, that's what peace gives you. That's what joy gives you. Amen. When you have that, it's not the dimension. Yeah, of course. You know, if your family is growing, you need bigger, get bigger. God bless you. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. If you are blessed and you can afford it, get it. Praise God for that. But it's, I'm just saying, don't focus so much on that. That's not what life is. Life is not in that. Life is in the blessing, the joy that you share with one another. Glory to God. So we were talking about this on Christmas Day. Was it Christmas Day or the day after? Some whatever, we had a long drive. So, you know, we talked about how sometimes people, you know, because sometimes we're religious minded, we think some days are more important than other days. So for instance, because we're sometimes more religious minded, you know, we'll go to Mass at Christmas and Easter, right? And we'll go to church and we'll do some things on certain days of the year, but other days, you know, we're like, oh, that doesn't matter. You know, this is for Christmas. We really have to do Christmas Christ things.
You know, we have to change our mind, because this is one of the things the Lord told me to minister a lot on. It's one of the things that's stopping many of God's people from entering into the best that God has for them. It's very easy to say, I have to be in church on December 31st. You know, it'd be nice to go to church on January 1st. It's true. Those are very nice. But let me ask you, the Lord asked me a simple question. I want to ask you that same question. Which of these 2 days of creation, when God started and when he rested, mattered most to him? Think about it. There were 7 days of creation. From day one to day seven. On day one, he created light. Didn't he? Right? On day seven, what did he create? Nothing. He rested. Okay, my question to you, between day one and day seven, compare those 2 days. Which of those 2 days do you think mattered more to God? Which one was more important to God? Huh? No, they mattered the same. They were exactly the same to God. Every day of your life is a piece that completes the puzzle. Every single day of your life. There is no one day. See, what we are doing here, there are things that we need to do on certain days and we should do them. But God doesn't go on vacation on the other days. Are you listening to me? Can you imagine? I mean, I could go on and on. But we got to pray right here. Every single day of our lives matter. He has a plan for every single one of them. So part of conforming with the ways of God and doing things like God does things is we begin to think like him. That every day of my life matters. It's not just January 1st, not just December 25th, not just April, whenever Easter is. No, every day matters to God. Every day. Think about hundreds of years God was prophesying until Jesus came. He had people prophesying until Jesus was born. Every single day of those hundreds of years mattered to God. Decisions were being made. Do you think it was more important to God the day Jesus was born or the day Mary said yes to the angel? Which of those 2 days were more important? They were just as important to God. Every single day. Sometimes we take our minds off certain things. So we focus with a religious mind, but God deliver all of us from that religious mindset. Amen. This year, let's separate ourselves so that we can enter into God's best. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to pray as we get into the new year? Get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? This is a prayer I want you to pray for yourself. God, give me a new mind. Help me. A new mind. Help me think like you. Give me the mind of Christ. Give me the mind. Give me, Lord, so I can walk according to your way, so it can be well with me. There are blessings. There are things you have prepared. But unless I think like you, unless I act like you, unless I walk like you, I know I will not be able to get those things that you have prepared. Help me to think like you. Help me to act like you, Lord, as I enter into this new year, this new season. Help me take off that garment of religiosity and put on a new spiritual garment that thinks like you, that desires like you, that believes like you, that walks like you. In the name of Jesus, help me to glorify you. Help me to honor you. Help me to be a blessing, God, the way, Lord, you've ordained my life, in the name of Jesus. My friends, this is one of the miracles we should ask God for in 2025. The miracle of being able to think like God. The miracle of being able to imagine like God. The miracle of being able to make decisions like God. Because if we do, it will be well with us. It will be well with us. We will prosper. We will enjoy the dew of heaven. We will see dew season come. It will come sooner than we even imagine, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're just a few minutes before the new year. Let's get into our praying now. Let's begin to talk to God. I don't know what else you want to ask God for in 2025.
what else you want the Lord to do in your own life or in your family, in the things that matter to you in 2025. But this is a time as we get ready to enter into it. We have approximately 8 minutes. As we get ready, let's take this time and present ourselves. Let's consecrate ourselves to God. Let's tell the Lord, Lord, the greatest desire of my heart is to live according to your will, to live according to your purpose. I'm not satisfied living for my own self. I don't want to be my own boss. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to glorify you every single day of my life. I want to be everything that you ordain my life to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to honor you. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I want to be pleasing to you. Lord, I want you to look at my life and I want you to delight in my life. I want you to look at my life and I want you to be happy about my life. Every single day as we get into January 1st, let 2025 be different. Lord, help me to not take a break from pleasing you. Help me to not take a break from walking in wisdom. Help me to not take a break from enjoying and expecting the dew of heaven over my life. Help me to not take a break, Father God, from expecting the blessings of your due season in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, help me. Whatever you need to pray, go ahead and take the liberty and pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. Hallelujah. And pray and talk to the Lord. And talk to the Lord. This is between you and him. This is between you and him. Let the deepest desires of your heart be expressed to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you look up to him. Tell him how much you desire. How much you desire to connect with his will and his purpose. He said that it may be well with you in the land that you are going to possess it. The land that flows with milk and honey. That it may be well with you. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. That it may be well with you. 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 In the name of Jesus. That it may be well with you. You and your family. That it may be well with you. That you may be blessed in all that you do. That you may be blessed in all that you do, that God may favor you, that God may honor you, that God may exalt you, that God may fulfill the desires of your heart, that it may be well with you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that it may be well with you in the name of Jesus, that whatever you lay your hands upon may prosper, that God may elevate you in due season, that you may experience the dew of heaven in the name of Jesus, that God, who is the author of peace, the God who is the author of peace, that he may make you what you want to be. He may supply in your life every good thing that you need to be what you ought to be in this season and in the next for the rest of your life. That you may fulfill your God-given destiny. You may be everything that Christ created you to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that you may rise higher, that you may rise higher. Wherever you have been in your walk with God, that you may take the next step. Whatever your experiences have been with God, that you may take the next step. That you may glorify him. That you may be a channel of his blessing on the earth. You may be a channel of his glory on the earth. That God may elevate you. That God may do a glorious work in your life. That God may establish you in his counsel. That God may fulfill the word that he has spoken concerning you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will rise higher and higher and higher like a mighty edifice in the name of the Lord Jesus. You become a pillar and a vessel of valor in the kingdom of God. You become an image, a blueprint print, a worthy representation of Almighty God Himself, that you will ooze out. You will ooze out. You will flow out. You will express out the nature, the virtues of God in the name of Jesus. You will be a man and a woman who loves genuinely. You will have the peace of God that passes all human understanding, that you'll be filled with joy in the name of Jesus, that you will grow in every area of your life, that you will fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill your destiny. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. What a glorious opportunity. As we get, oh God, we arrive. We almost arrived at the border of this new year, this new season. Oh Lord, we are full of excitement. We are full of expectation. We are looking up to you. We are believing, Lord, that our best days are still ahead of us. We are believing that it will be well with us. We are believing that we'll be surrounded with your love, with your power, with your grace, with your peace. We'll be surrounded with joy that is flowing like a river in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, you will cause the work of our hands to prosper. You will cause our heart to be circumcised and consecrated to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will enable us, Father God, to be pleasing to you, to your heart, in the name of Jesus, to follow your due order, to follow your due order, Lord God, to live our life according to your purpose, according to your eternal design, in the name of Jesus, that you will enable us, Father God, to be fulfilled. Fill us with new strength, fill us with new grace, fill us with new abilities, Lord. Where we have been tired, renew our strength, Lord. Renew our grace, Lord. Where we have been wanting, refill us. Do a new thing in our lives. Bring us to a place of a new beginning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bring us to a place of a new beginning in the name of Jesus. Do a mighty work in our lives. Do a mighty work in our lives. Oh, help us glorify you. Help us honor you like never before. Like never before. Let our light so shine before men, God, that they see your light. They glorify our heavenly Father. Help us to be the salt of the earth in the name of Jesus. Give us the spirit of wisdom. Help us to make sound decisions in the name of Jesus. Help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you in the name of Jesus. God, give us direction, clarity of direction, clarity of focus. Help us know everything you have ordained for us. We give you the glory and we give you the praise today. Hallelujah. It's 12 midnight. Let's begin to rejoice. Welcome to 2025. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Come on, let's rejoice, people of God. Come on, let's rejoice.